Good morning. Now, I'm looking around the room and I'm thinking there's probably some of you that have heard me speak quite regularly in church. There are some of you that probably the last time you heard me speak in public was when I gave my wedding speech. And there are probably some of you, which was 10 years ago, by the way, 10th anniversary this summer. Is that all? I'd say it seems like a lifetime, but I'm not sure that probably is a good comment. And there are some of you that will have never heard me speak before. So this morning, I've entitled what I'm going to talk about today, Memories. And what I want to do with you this morning, I want to share 5 short stories with you. And over the course of these stories, some of them are from our life, some of them are from the Bible. There's just a few things that I want to just explain as we go through these stories. So we're going to get straight into the first story. There are not many times in my life that I can remember swearing at my dad, but this is one of them. So, I want to start by telling you a story about somebody who was forgotten. It's a very sad story. It's a very sad story. You see, when I was young, we went through a period of time when my dad had left his job and he went to Bible college. And we didn't have a lot of money. In fact, for that period of time, we were given quite a few cars. And there was one particular car that I want to tell you about. It was a red Volkswagen Scirocco. Now, this car had been given us to, it was a neighbour, from what I remember, there's a picture to show you of what it looked like. I think this is what it looked like. Now, this was given to us by the neighbour of a friend. And it didn't run, it needed some repairs doing on it. And I remember one day, my dad saying, did I want to help tow the car from this friend's neighbour's garage down to my grandparents' farm so that he could fix it? And I remember being really, really excited. I don't know what it was. The thought of sitting in a broken down car while it was being attached to a car with a rope and towed down the road. It wasn't a long journey, but I just remember thinking this was just going to be the greatest experience of my life. Are you feeling guilty yet, Dad? I've showed you the picture of what it actually looked like. In my mind, this is how I remember it. It was that good a car. Now, Dad, to be honest, I don't remember that we kept it that long, so I don't know how well it actually lasted, because I wasn't sure that it seemed like before I knew it, that car had broken down and we got another one. So we had this car and I was very, very excited to be going to help tow this car with my dad down to the farm. So we got in the car and we drove round to our friend's house. And I remember going into the friend's house, and from what I remember, I might not be 100% accurate with this, as we went in, they said, oh, Walt, do you want a cup of tea? So they went downstairs, and I was ushered upstairs into what must have been their spare room. And in their spare room was a computer, and there were computer games on it. So the guy that was a friend was into playing computer games. I don't remember. It was probably an Acorn, John. There were some games set up for me to have a play on while they had a cup of tea. So I was quite merrily just thought, oh, okay, this is a bit weird. I'm in a room on my own, but I'll just play the game. And I remember playing the game. And I remember playing it a bit longer. And I remember thinking, oh, Dad hadn't come back up for me yet. This is a bit strange. But I thought, you know what? I trust my dad completely. So I carried on playing the game for a little bit longer. And then I remember thinking it had gone very quiet. I just remember being aware of the quietness. So I thought it was a good idea to go and investigate. And I remember going downstairs to an empty house. Not completely empty. The guy's wife was still there. And she said, oh, they've gone. They've already got in the car. They've taken the car up to the farm. And I just remember my heart sank. And I remember all I could do was I went back upstairs and carried on playing the game for a bit longer until my dad and this friend came back to the house. And I remember the journey back to our house as we got back in the car. I remember not really wanting to speak to my dad and not really wanting to answer his questions. Are you all right? And I think I stayed pretty calm throughout the journey. Where I lost it was when I got out of the car at our house. And all I remember was my mum coming out of the house onto the drive asking how it had gone. And at that point, I just remember losing it. I'm not going to repeat what I said, swearing at my dad, getting so angry that I kicked the bin. I was kicking the bin and I turn around and I'll never forget this bit. I kicked the wall of the house. And now all I can remember is the pain that I experienced when I went from kicking the bin, which was okay and it was getting my point across, to kicking the outside wall of the house and remembering the pain that I went through. Yeah, I was pretty cross at the time. And I do like to remind him of this every now and again, you know, just in passing conversation. But what I remember the most, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, is that feeling of being forgotten. That feeling of just thinking, oh, he's gone. He's gone without me. You know, we all have these kind of experiences in our lives. Maybe you didn't swear at your dad. Maybe you swore a lot more at your dad than I did. I don't know. Maybe you experienced that feeling of being left somewhere. Maybe your parents forgot you at the park or something like that. I remember being left when I was at school, being left at the zoo. And having to go into one of those little rooms where the announcer said, this boy's lost, here's his name, can you come and find him? So maybe you've got stories of times that you were forgotten. You see, some things we remember and some things we forget. Sometimes we choose what we remember and sometimes we choose to forget. Sometimes there are things that we can't forget, even though we want to. You see, we all have our own experiences. I want to tell you a second story. And this second story is from the Bible. See, this story is about a king who forgets. And it comes from the book of Kings, and it's in chapter 21. I'm not going to read from that chapter, but if you want to know where it is, that's where it is. It's about a king, and his name was Manasseh. He was 12 years old when he was given the role of king, and he was king of Judah. Judah was the bottom half of Israel. Israel was divided into two nations, and it was the bottom half. It was from Jerusalem down. It was to what is now the west of Gaza. And he ruled over this land. He was put in a very privileged position to rule over the Jewish nation in the land that God had prepared for them, that God had freed them out of Egypt when Moses took them out, and there's the parting of the Red Sea and all that. As he took them out of Egypt into their promised land, he was given the responsibility to rule over that nation. Over the 55 years that he ruled that nation, he forgot. He forgot what God had done. He forgot that God had freed that entire nation out of slavery in Egypt. He forgot what the kings before him had done to build that nation. And when I say he forgot, I don't mean he just forgot. I mean, he went above and beyond forgetting, doing things that were just so against what God had asked them to do that it was horrific. And if you look at that passage in the Bible, there's a page of all the stuff that he did. To read a few, he set up prostitution in the temple. He practiced witchcraft and he sacrificed his own son to a cult. That's how bad his life became. He was not alone when he forgot God. He caused an entire nation to forget God too. His name literally means causing to forget. And because of the choices that he made as he was ruler over Judah, he caused everyone to forget. Well, not quite everyone, but we'll come to that in a minute. So, forgetting something so important as what God has done for you is such an important thing for us to make note of. We'll talk a little bit later on about some of the ways that we remember what God's done for us. See, there's another person in the Bible who didn't forget. And that moves us on to our third story. And I've called this story a messenger. You see, our next story is about a man. And this man had a message. And this message would change a nation. And this nation seemed like it was beyond hope. In this story, there was a man. We don't know his name. He's referred to only as a man of God, the man of God. We know very little about him, other than the fact that one day God spoke to him and told him to do what I'm about to tell you. Other than that, there's very little that we know about this guy. You see, he was given this instruction by God. He was told to visit a king, and it was a king in Judah. And the king was called Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was not a good guy either. In fact, he was in the middle of ritually worshipping a false god when this man of God arrived. This was about 300 years before Manasseh. This man told the king that a child was going to be born. And the name of this child would be Josiah. And he tells the king that Josiah would abolish all of the evil that Jeroboam had done. And you can read about it in 1 Kings 13. The king listened to this man. The king remembered what God had done for a short period of time. And then, of course, he forgot. He forgot what God had done. He forgot what the man of God had told him. He forgot what God had promised the nation of Israel. You see, it's funny how sometimes we can be into something and then we forget. Maybe we try and get into good habits, good routines to do good things. But before we know it, we've already forgotten what it was that we were going to do. That's why diets and fitness regimes rarely work, because I don't think people deliberately stop going to the gym. I don't think people deliberately stop eating healthily. I think people forget to go to the gym, forget to eat healthy, forget to do whatever it is you're going to do. The amount of times I've tried to get into a routine of I'm going to get up early in the morning and read my Bible before the day. And before you know it, I forget. I normally oversleep and I forget. And we all do that. We all try and do things, but we forget what we're doing. And before we know it, weeks have passed and we've not even got started. You see, this king, Jeroboam, again, just like Manasseh, who came 300 years later, he was given this position of authority. But the difference between him and the other guy was that there hadn't been 300 years of forgetting about it. There'd been a much shorter period of time, and yet he forgot. He forgot what God had done. And this messenger comes and he says, someone's going to come along. He doesn't say in the Bible it's going to be 300 years. He just says this child's going to be born, and his name's going to be Josiah, and he's going to abolish all the evil that you've done. So there's three stories so far. We've heard about the very, very sad story when you forgot me, Dad. we've heard of Manasseh who just did so many wicked things because he forgot who God was and what God had done. We heard a story of a messenger who came to remind the king what God had done, and the king still forgot. I want to tell you a fourth story, and this one isn't from the Bible. I want to share with you a little bit about how we came to this point. I apologize now if it's quite hard for me to say some of these things, but I want to share with you. When Diane and I first met, we always talked about having children. We had a plan. And we always wanted to have more than one child. In fact, we would often have these debates about how many. Diane generally wanted more than me. Not seven. I think I'd have a heart attack. Things changed when Grace were born. The pregnancy and the birth were very difficult on Diane. And she couldn't bear the thought of going through the whole process again. In fact, after Grace was born, we talked about it. We talked long and hard about it. And we made the decision that we weren't going to have any more children. I'll be honest with you, I was really disappointed. Because I always wanted two kids. But I had to come to this realization that I needed to accept that it was just going to be the three of us. So it took a while to process that, but in my head, I came to the conclusion that I was going to be happy that it was just me, Diane, and Grace. And then a few years later, some friends of ours announced that they were going to be expecting. And unbeknownst to me, Diane began to feel really jealous about our friends and that they were having a baby. So this is what she did. She went away and she prayed that God would give her peace over her decision to not have any more kids. As she was praying that day, God put a name, and I say God, you know, it's up to you as to whether you would say that it was God. God put a name into her heart, and the name was Josiah. And Diane couldn't understand why she was given a name in her mind when she was there praying that God would give her peace about not having any more kids. Diane kept this very, very quiet. I mean, very, very quiet. She never discussed it with me. 18 months later, completely separate to this, I got a message. And it was actually a message from Kate and Ali Kent's church. They were holding a women's conference. This is in Nottingham. They were holding a women's conference and they needed a drummer for the conference for the day. And they put out this message asking if anyone knew any drummers that could go and help them for that day. So I said that I would go and I'd play drums for the day at this conference. And I messaged Kate and I just said, would you mind if Diane came with me? She'd like to come along to the conference. And then she was like, yeah, no problem. So the two of us drove over to this conference. At the conference, after one of the women had given a message, Diane felt that she should respond. So she got up to the front and asked for prayer. As she was being prayed for by this woman, who at the time we know well now, it wasn't Kate, it was another lady from their church, we know well now, didn't know us at the time. This woman, as she started praying, she asked Diane about children. She said that God was speaking to her. She said, I'm not quite sure what this means, but something to do with you and having children. She said, is it that you can't have children? And Diane said to her, no, I can have children, but I'm scared about having another one because of the experience that I went through with the first. As a result of this conversation, this lady prayed for Diane. And her prayer was this, that if Diane decided that she wanted to have another child, that the pregnancy and the labor would be the opposite experience to what she went through with Grace. See, Diane went away and she looked up the name, the meaning of the name Josiah, and it means God, my healer. Yeah. Diane had in her mind that name that she'd been given 18 months before that, and realized that God was speaking to her again. And as they say, the rest is history. I won't go into any more detail other than to say that it wasn't very long before we found out that Diane was pregnant. Diane told me the name, and if I'm being perfectly honest, I kept forgetting it. For quite a long time, she'd go, do you like the name Josiah? And I go, what was the name again? I can't remember. And she'd go, Josiah. And I was like, I'm not really sure. Let me have a think about it. What was the name again? And this went on, I'm not kidding, this probably went on for months, didn't it? Of me not being able to remember the name that that Diane felt that we should call our boy. Before we went for the scan where we were going to find out the gender of the child, we knew it was going to be a boy. In our mind, we'd decided we trust that this word is from God. It's going to be a boy. We didn't even pick a girl's name. But yeah, there was one other reason as well. You see, I was the one that was a little bit unsure about it. I didn't really know. About 4 weeks before we took Diane for her scan to find out the gender of the child, a friend of ours, Jane, was chatting to Diane, and she sent her a text message that day after church. And the text message, I'm going to read it word for word what it says. It says this: "Hi, Diane, did the Lord give you the name Josiah for your son? As we were speaking yesterday, that name came to me." And now that's not like John. That's not a pretty common name to come to. That's a pretty rare name. And that was the point for me where I was like, yeah, this is it. This is going to be our son. When Josiah was born, he struggled to breathe. And he had an infection. And it meant that we spent a lot longer in hospital than we originally intended to. But throughout that whole process, we were reassured by the name that we'd been given. And that in the same way that Diane was healed of her fears of having another child, we knew that God would heal our son too. Now, you might be listening to this and you might be thinking that these are just a lot of coincidences. But we believe that that is more than just a coincidence. We believe that God has a plan for each of our lives. We believe that God put these situations together in our life to bring us to the point we're at now. And he has a plan for Josiah too. And I want to share with you one final story before I finish. And I've called this story Remembering. And we're going to go back to the Bible. Before Manasseh, king of Judah, died, he had a son. When he died, his son, who was 22 years old, took his place as king. He was a rubbish king. He was as bad as Manasseh. In fact, he just made things worse. He carried on doing the same things that his dad did, making the same mistakes. In fact, he made even more. He lasted 2 years as king because his servants murdered him in his own house. He was despised. They murdered him. And this is where the story changes. You see, this guy who was murdered, he had a son. And his son was 8 years old when he was murdered. And his son was his name was Josiah. And when his father died at 8 years old, he was made king of Judah. He was a king like no other king before him. The Bible uses these words. It says, he did good in the eyes of the Lord. At 16 years old, so he'd been ruling for 8 years, at 16 years old, the Bible says that he began to seek the God of his ancestors. So his ancestor David, king from hundreds of years before, he sought out the God that David worshipped. At age 20, he started to reform the whole nation. He went around the nation and he took down all of the things that Manasseh had established, all the shrines, all of these kind of idols, all these things to do with like cults. He started taking them all down. By the time he was 26, he decided that he needed to start rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. He sent out one of his subjects to look for some builders so that they could start the building work on the temple. When they went into the temple and they started clearing out all the rubbish, they found a book. In this book, different people kind of speculate what was in this book that they found. But it's most likely that it contained a copy of the Ten Commandments. That it contained further guidance on how the Jewish nation should live, how they should deal with different circumstances. It wasn't all just about worshipping God. There was practical advice in there. There was stuff in that book about how to deal with debt in the community. So real practical advice. This book had loads of stuff in there, which leads you to think, you know, from the age of 8 to the age of 26, he's trying to reform the nation, but he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't have any guidance. And at age 26, he finds this book, and this book is God's word explaining how he should reform the nation. It contained one other thing. It contained documentation about all the festivals that the Jews used to celebrate that had been forgotten about. And in that was one specific festival that he read about. And the festival was called the Passover. And this was when the Jews specifically remembered what God had done when he took them out of Egypt, out of being slaves. So one of the things that Josiah did is he re-established this festival, this way of remembering. You see, we've talked so far about how easy it is to forget. And that's why we do things a certain way. Because some of the things that we do in church, we do because it helps us to remember. We take communion to help us remember. In fact, we don't celebrate the Passover anymore because we believe that Jesus fulfilled everything in that part of the Bible and actually gave us a new way to be with God. But what we do is we celebrate communion to remember the ongoing story of how we can be with God. We find ways of remembering. We find ways of remembering our things in our own life. Maybe it's we remember birthdays. We have parties. We remember we're going to be celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary. We're going to go away for a couple of nights. Yes. And grandparents are looking after the kids. Yes. You're all right. We've left them with John and Deborah, not you. So why am I telling you all this? Because we have ways to remember what God has done. As a family, we believe that names are really important. We believe that when we gave Grace her name, and we believe that over Josiah. We believe that name is a way of us remembering what God has done for us so far, and a way of him remembering what God has promised. Because God has healed. That is why we stand today, and that is why we mark this occasion, and that's why we've invited you to come and join us. Because as he grows up, I want him to find the God that we found. A God who is kind, a God who is compassionate, a God who saves, and a God who heals us. Over Josiah's life this morning, I want to read one Bible verse to you that I believe for him, and it's talking about King Josiah, and it's 2 Kings 22. Verse 25, it says this. Now before him, there was no one, no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him. That's what I believe for Josiah, and that's the words I want to declare over his life, that he will seek God with all his heart. And we make that commitment that we're going to help him to do that. And finally, I just want to leave you with one final thought. We all have different memories. We forget the things that are important to us. Sometimes we get so busy that before we know it, we've forgotten something that used to be important to us. We forget why we do things. We forget to remember. But in the same way, we cling on to memories that hurt us. You may not know this, but I believe that there is a God who loves you, and he wants to take away the pain and the hurt of those memories that you cling on to. In fact, I believe that there is a God that all you've got to do is ask him, and he will take those things away from you. I'm going to leave you with that thought. If you know that you've got things that you cling on to that hurt you, maybe you were forgotten. Maybe something happened in your life that you struggle to let go of. Maybe you struggle to forgive someone. If you don't know where to start, then I know someone who can help you start. And if that's challenged you this morning, then feel free to come and chat to me or chat to any of the guys that have got up at the front this morning and just tell them, I'd be more than happy to pray for you. If you've forgotten that there is a God that loves you and that there's a God that wants to help you, then you could ask someone to help you start afresh.